Well, praise the Lord. I think I could justifiably just give the benediction, and I believe the Lord has helped us and spoken to us this morning, and I appreciate His faithfulness. I don't know how long the thoughts that I've had will take. Truthfully, a lot of them have been expressed this morning, which I guess I need to take as confirmation, don't I? I appreciate the things Ron said in the beginning. It was right on the money. Of exactly what I believe we need to hear. And I appreciate Corin's sharing. I'm thankful that he's had this experience. We don't know how blessed we are in this country in natural ways, but I'll tell you, we need more than that, because things may not always be that way. But I thought of one scripture that came up in my Bible reading, and I will just go there and trust the Lord to bring whatever He wants to out of it. I don't have any sermon, but I'll tell you, we have the Lord, don't we? And we can lift Him up and look to Him. So turn to Psalm 33. You know, David was a man raised up, a man after God's own heart, went through a lot of things. Some of them were wonderful and some of them were terrible as far as earthly experiences are concerned. And yet there were things that he learned about the Lord through what he went through, weren't there? And I believe God wants us to learn as we go, even as we've heard expressed this morning. There are so many things that we don't know until we go through stuff. I thought about it from this standpoint. Last week we asked the question, who am I? And we went into questions about our identity, who we really are. And part of that is that if we know the Lord, we're His children. And that needs to be our identity in every situation. But of course, it also deals with, you know, what am I really like? What are my real needs? And the Lord has ways of bringing that out, doesn't He? He will allow us to go through things, and suddenly we discover, hey, I didn't know that was in there. And then we get in that tug of war that we just saw demonstrated, where the Lord's wanting to work on us, and the only answer is to let go and let God have His wonderful way. We sing the song so often. But, you know, another dimension to what we were talking about last week is in this psalm here. And while on the one hand, part of the anchor that will hold us and give us roots, to put it that way, in a difficult world at the end of the age, we need to know who we are. But even more important than that, we need to know who He is. Because that is so critical. If we ever get off of that and we lose that sense of who our God is, then we're going to be blown about with a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of winds. And so David is expressing some of that in Psalm 33. In the first part, he says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully. Shout for joy." Now that certainly reminds us of the service we had recently about worship and how important that is, what a part that is meant to play in our lives. But you know, just the very beginning of this reminded me of this simple principle. I doubt I'm going to say anything new this morning, but there are things that I believe that I need, that we all need. But one of the things that jumped out at me from the first word, David didn't say, when things are going good and you feel good, then sing joyfully. It's just sing joyfully. That needs to be the bottom line that we learn in every aspect of our lives, because we know from experience and from the promises of the Word of God that life will not always be as we would like it to be outwardly. We're going to be in all kinds of circumstances, and yet what God wants for as an expression of our faith is that we are choosing to sing joyfully to the Lord, not resentfully or any other kind of emotion that we tend to give into. But there is an opportunity when things are not the way we would like them to actually make a choice and exercise faith. Because praise, don't we have a track down there, or it's in the somewhere in the basement? It says praise is faith at work. You know, God gives us all kinds of opportunities to put faith into action. And this is one of them. And, you know, there's a one of the problems that we have living in a material world where we take in everything by our senses and how we feel and what we see and what we hear about going on. And it tends to focus our attention there, doesn't it? And God wants us to learn to be able to see past that, doesn't he? To where what controls our lives, our thinking, the roots that we have that go down that hold us in the storm are not the things that happen to us that allow us to be blown this way and that, but the one constant. That's the thing about this world. There's nothing that is dependable that is constant. You know, I'm thankful, as Corin expressed, for the prosperity we've had in America, but don't depend on that. We need the Lord. Things could easily get for us like they are in Thailand or in Cambodia, even more so. But I'll tell you, God is faithful to his people, and he wants us to be so rooted and grounded in him that no matter what his plan is in the outworking of the end of the age, we will be able to stand strong, because our strength does not come from us, doesn't come from things being pleasant and predictable. It comes from the constancy of God. And that's where David is going with this particular psalm. God made this thing real to his heart. And as we've said, he didn't learn this just out strumming a harp, or whatever he strummed, out keeping the sheep. He did learn things there, but I'll tell you, they were things that had to be put to the test in some awfully difficult circumstances. And he discovered what God will teach every one of us if we're willing, that he's faithful. And ultimately, there is nothing that we have that we need to fear. David said in one place, you know, what can man do to me? Ultimately, what can he do? Because we're in his hands. And no matter what the Lord allows men to do to us, we're in his hands, and he is faithful. Anyway, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Now, David didn't understand in his day all that meant, that God has unfolded and caused us to know, you know, the things that Corin was talking about the cross. How do you become righteous? How does a sinner like you and like me become right in the eyes of a holy God? There's only one way, and that's what God has done. So he's talking to people that have learned how to lay their burdens at his feet and put their hope and their trust in him, and to know that we can stand before him as if we had never sinned, not because we deserve it, have earned it, have done anything other than bowed before his truth and his heart. Praise God. What does that reveal about the one that we're talking about? Doesn't the very fact that he can call somebody like you and like me righteous, doesn't that tell us something about him? Wow, that's incredible. I'll tell you, the more you learn about yourself, the more incredible it becomes, because we are very good at fooling ourselves, thinking we're something that we're not. Don't be afraid for God to show you the truth about yourself. He doesn't do it to make you feel worthless. He does it to make him, to exalt his love and his grace, and to lift us out of that and say, there's always an answer that I have given you, and it's complete, it's full. Jesus is on the throne. Praise God. So anyway, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting. It's the right thing to do for the upright to praise him. Then he goes into the music side of it. David was the one who established, if you want to call it the music program, but the worship center that he had. The Lord used him to bring back the ark to Jerusalem that had at one time been captured by the Philistines. But he didn't just, but he brought a place. He made a place for it. It was a special tent. He put it there. He put the priests in charge. But he established a system of worship. And he took people who were gifted with instruments and with singing, and he put them there, and he wrote these psalms, and they were there praising the Lord all the time. So that was what's behind a lot of this. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. That was obviously a string instrument of some kind. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully. Shout for joy. You know, God is the one who invented music. We're created in His image, and the very fact that we are musical tells you something about God. Can you imagine what we're going to hear in heaven? I mean, the most amazing music we've ever heard here will pale beside what God is going to be enabling us to produce there. It will just fill us with rapture and praise and joy. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you, if you appreciate beautiful music, just wait. I'll tell you, there's nothing like we will hear. But make music and all these things. So there's a place for musicians and instruments. It's interesting. One thing jumped out at me a little bit. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but sing to Him a new song. What in the world is that about? You know, I kind of looked that up, and I don't want to go down that rabbit trail too far, but one thing about the Lord is that it's not a static kind of thing. We don't just come to this, to a relationship, and okay, this is what we do. We just, you know, we come here, we go through the routine, and that's it. God wants to take us down new places, new experiences with Him. He's talking not about a religion and a distant God somewhere who wants us to practice a religion. He's talking about a relationship, a living relationship, where we walk with Him, we look to Him, and we learn new things about Him and about ourselves. And so what we sing is not just the old stuff regurgitated, but there's something new that comes out of us. God wants to help us to be able to have something that is fresh. In fact, just out of curiosity, I never studied Hebrew, but I looked up the word, and one of the other translations of it besides new is fresh. So you get the picture. You get the sense of what God is looking for and what David is talking about. As he went through his experience, it wasn't just, okay, I remember what you did, and it's great, and this is how it all worked. No, this was a fresh, Lord, You're so real. I was in this circumstance, and You brought me through, and You taught me something, and I know more about You, so I got something I can sing about. You know, if our focus is where it ought to be, God can take everything in our lives and turn it into a song of praise. If we understand it and if we see it through His eyes, we don't do that. I'm afraid that I don't far too much. I'm sort of buried in how I feel and what's going on, this and that. And my God, help us to be lifted out of that terrible place to where we can have that song in our hearts towards Him and be thankful. I'm thankful when I feel good. I don't remember when that was, but anyway, I'm thankful for those times when we can rejoice in something outward. There's nothing wrong with that. God, there are seasons. You know, that's the article in the new MCM, and we had a message that God takes us through different times. But you know, there's a constant. That constant is God Himself, who does not change. And so the Lord wants us to be so anchored to Him and to His promises that we're not blown around. And we can actually respond in faith instead of, okay, I'm supposed to praise the Lord. I don't feel like it. Hate what's going on, but all right, I'm supposed to do it. No. My God. God wants to set us free from that. And He will. And He will give us what we need to do it. Praise the Lord. He's not asking something of us that's impossible with His grace, is He? And He says, play skillfully. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that everybody has to be a perfect musician in order to worship God. You know, we often make the joke about, you know, if you don't have the skill, well, just go and make a joyful noise. Well, that's true. Praise the Lord. He's not looking at the form. And playing skillfully is not about pride. It's not like God's going to get angry with you if you miss a note. I'm so thankful. Robert and I would be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd have a hard time. But anyway, the Lord is so faithful. But you know, doesn't playing skillfully still convey something? It's not just a form I'm going through. I actually care about what I'm doing. See, my heart is engaged in wanting to praise Him. And He's given me whatever He's given me. I want to give it back to Him from my heart. That's what God is looking for. So that's kind of what He's conveying there, playing skillfully. Now, there's a reason that these first three verses are there because you have the next word is for, and that means because. There's a reason that we do all this. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. You want to know that there's one thing that is true? This word, this world will tell you everything that the devil can come up with, every lie he can come up with about you personally, about the world you live in, about every circumstance. This world is full of lies. It goes right back to the garden. And that lie that was believed in the beginning. But I'll tell you, there's a God who stands for what is right and what is true, who will communicate that with us if we want to know it. Praise God. I want to know the truth even when it hurts. Because even when God wounds me, he heals me forever and ever. Praise God. I don't want to be on the back end of that thing and just constantly pulling against God and resisting, saying, no, my way. I want this. I'm mad about this. God, your way is the truth. I want the truth, absolutely. Lord, I'm committed to it. And I know I can always depend upon you to tell me the truth. You don't change. Thank God there's a standard in this world that we can turn to in any circumstance. Isn't that something worth rejoicing about? You want to live in this kind of a world without an anchor? I don't. He's right. The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. God declares something and he doesn't change his mind, does he? You know, you have that wonderful passage in Hebrews 6 where the emphasis is upon the promise of God and how it comes from a God who doesn't lie to begin with. But it's not only the promise, but he also swore by himself to back the promise up. So he's given us two different things we can depend on: the promise itself and the swearing up that promise is true. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, I want something that is a true anchor. And so we have a God that is going to be faithful. And he is faithful when you're at your worst moment, when circumstances are terrible. His faithfulness is not reflected in our earthly circumstances. They come, they go, but God absolutely stays faithful to his plan and his purpose. Okay? The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. That sounds crazy if you think about it. We see a lot of bad stuff in the world, don't we? But can you imagine if the Lord just simply took his hands off and abandoned it to the devil? Oh my God, you talk about stealing and killing and destroying. There's enough bad stuff that God allows temporarily. But I'll tell you, the underlying order, we have a God who's aware when a sparrow falls, keeps track of the hairs on your head. The stuff that he allows to keep on functioning, he's created this world and it's a place where it actually supports life. And all of the things that happen in nature that make it possible for us to get up in the morning and eat something, and all the Lord's provision is here if you can see it. People don't have eyes to see. I mean, how many times have people here, and people will hear this, gone to a beautiful place in the mountains and you look out? What do you see? You see some kind of accident? It just came from nothing somehow magically? I see the hand of God. I see God bearing witness to anybody who has a heart that's willing to be open and to listen, that there's a God and he's amazing and you need to learn something about him. I'll tell you, if anybody has an open heart, there is a God who will make himself known. But oh, I'll tell you, I want to be able to look at the beauty, even with the limitations and the corruption that's in the world, there's still beauty. And it's a reflection of him and his character. All right? So how did that come to pass? Am I looking at a bunch of accidental descendants of pond scum? Or monkeys? I'll tell you what, we were created in the image of God, and God has preserved our way that he has. How many times has God intervened in history so you and I could even sit here? The amazing plan and purpose of God to allow one generation to follow another, and You know, maybe there was a child that died, or there was another one that was preserved alive, and that became one of your ancestors, and here we all are, and God has intervened. But by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. That's it. You know, isn't it a good thing when we sit here and we hear the news, and we see the uncertainty and the scariness of the things that are happening in the world? It's a good thing when we can step back and say, wait a minute, let's go back before the beginning. How did all this get to be here in the first place? God, all he had to do was speak out of his word. We've said this so many times. God would absolutely just speak and something would happen. Was there anybody who could say, wait a minute, God, you can't do that. You're violating the laws of physics. Or you got this limitation. I'm sorry, you can't. No. He did whatever was on his heart and mind to do. He created physics. They still can't figure it all out. Seems like every other day I'll see some little news story. They'll say, well, they've new discoveries have called into question this theory. Now they're having to rethink everything. And Einstein was either right or wrong or whatever. I mean, every day they're just probing new things and trying to explain what God just spoke into existence. He had it all perfectly under control, knew how it all worked. Never any question. He didn't just throw something out there and say, boy, I sure don't know how that works, but hopefully it'll work. No. Here is a God who is so great that he could design everything right down to the smallest particle that they're still trying to figure out. And up to the galaxies, all of those things. That's the God that is the constant, should be the constant in our life. That we don't go through our day just sort of, or we don't come in here on Sunday and just acknowledge him and then go off and kind of forget and get so engrossed in our daily lives and circumstances that we forget who we serve and that he is on the throne and he knows what he's doing. Praise God. Every bit of this has been expressed here this morning. Praise the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. And, of course, his greatness is just an illustration here. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. Kind of makes him pretty great, doesn't it? He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. That's the calling. How in the world people can be that blind? But it tells you the power of sin and darkness when people turn their minds and drink it in, turn their minds to that. I'll tell you what, I want to be one of these that just walks through my day and remembers who God is. Does that matter? This is not deep theology here, but this is practical everyday Christianity. What good is it if we come in here and agree with these things but don't live it out? Just thinking of me, my need of this. But every one of us needs to have this kind of grounding in our thinking and need to be reminded of these truths. I know that there's part of us that would like to hear something new and exciting, but I need the bedrock truths of God's word constantly reiterated in my heart and in my spirit according to where I'm at a particular time. I believe with all my heart that God has a reason for this. There are people here right now that you're in a place of uncertainty. You're in a place of fear. I don't know where you're at. But God wants every one of us to lift up our eyes and our hearts to him. Get refocused. Remember that there is a God who is working out something that is eternal. He's in charge and we're okay. Praise God. All right? Let the world revere him, respect him. For why? Again, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Again, nobody could say, I'm sorry, God, you can't do that because, or we just don't have the resources to make that happen. No, the word, the power of his word. Praise God. Again, there's another real good rabbit trail I could go down, but I'm just going to refer to this. When God does something, he speaks. That's all he has to do. The power to make something happen simply comes out of what he says. And that's what he's doing right here today. God is speaking his words into people's hearts. Anyone that has a heart that wants to listen, I'll tell you, that word will come in and it will do something. It will go to work. It will change you and it will change me if we will embrace it and listen and realize God is creating. Now, He created inanimate matter back then. He didn't have any power to resist. But He's in creating us, He's created beings that do have a power to choose because we're in His image. But I'll tell you, every time someone who hears His word and chooses to humble themselves before it, let's go and let's the pull. Pull them in. I'll tell you, there's a creative power that's making us ready for all that He has planned. Nothing new we're saying, but this speaking, this focus on every word that goes out of His mouth, what does it do? It accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. Praise God. It will accomplish it. There's something that's certain. Then He says, excuse me, didn't say that. But anyway, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. Praise God. We see things happening. We see war possibly coming here. We see banks failing. We see all kinds of things. And the plans of people. There are people right now sitting around planning to create a world society and a world order. But I'll tell you, there's a God who rules and overrules, and nothing will overpower His plan. It doesn't matter what people plan. God may allow something for a time, but it will serve His purpose. Nebuchadnezzar discovered that the hard way, didn't he? When the Lord allowed him in his pride to suddenly lose his mind, live as an animal for a time, then recover everything and come to the realization that there's a God in heaven who does what He pleases among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay His hand. No one can stop Him or tell Him what to do. He raises up one. He puts down another. You look at history. History is a history of one nation rising up and then another nation rising up and crushing it. And it's just this constant jockeying. God will raise up somebody for a purpose, allow them to seemingly prosper. He's allowed a whole lot in this country. And this country is turning its back upon Him. And I have a feeling we're going to see history repeat. But I know who's in charge. I know that He is absolutely. And that's what He goes on and says. The Lord can stop whatever He wants to do. No, the devil's not in charge. God will allow him to do many things, but God's plans are in charge. That's what He says. But the plans of the Lord do what? They stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. God wants us to get up in the morning to deal with our daily stuff. And remember that there is a plan that is in motion that God set forth from the foundation of the world. He knew about you. He knew about every circumstance. And even when He puts us in places, especially when He puts us in places of challenge, there's a reason. And it's a loving reason. It's one where He cares from the depth of His being about us, training us, working on us, fulfilling something that the devil cannot stop. And you look at the cross that was mentioned this morning. Oh, the devil thought he'd won. Oh, the devil had pulled that plan together and he thought he was winning, and the Lord turned it into the greatest defeat in all of history for the devil. Greatest victory was won there for you and for me. And that's the way it's going to be at the end of the age. The Lord is going to allow the devil to do his thing. And at the right time, the Lord's going to step in and say, okay, it's all you're done. You're done. That's all. It's over. My purpose has been fulfilled. The Word says, as we've said so many times, that He speaks of Christ. He shall reign how long? Till all enemies are under His feet. And the last enemy is death itself, will be absolutely destroyed. Praise God. And then what's He going to do? He's going to hand the kingdom over to the Father. Here, Father, I'm done. I've fulfilled Your purpose. Here's the kingdom. And then God will be all in all, and Jesus will walk among us as our elder brother. Oh, I'll tell you, he will receive the honor for all eternity, for all that for his part in all of it. Praise God. I mean, from the beginning to the end, it was through him that God spoke everything into existence. It was through him that the cross and salvation has come about. It is through his reign right now that the plan and purpose of God is coming to pass. Whatever the Lord did right there in Cambodia and Thailand to reach somebody with the gospel, with the hope of the gospel, that's part of it. Our brothers and sisters in India right now who are laboring under challenging conditions, going into dangerous places and giving out the word of God, and God stretching forth his hand, reaching sometimes into Satan's domain and pulling somebody out that's been an enemy of the gospel. I'll tell you, God's going to finish the job, and his son is going to receive all the honor on that day. To him be the glory. His purposes will stand through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, we love to say, oh, that's America. I'll tell you, it's not any earthly nation. There is a nation that God has formed. But it's not one you can say, lo here, lo there. That's not the kind of the kingdom that he's built. But you know, think of what Peter said. And he spoke, speaking to people who were Jewish. You know, by the way people take this, that was God's nation. Well, it was for a time. But he spoke to people that were Jewish and then had come to Christ. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a what? Anybody remember what it says next? A holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a nation, you were not a people. But now you're the people of God. I'll tell you, if you're Christ's and you're sitting here this morning, this is that's our nation. What a blessing it is to have him as our Lord. This is the nation. We are his nation, and he is our God. To him be the glory. Praise God. All right? The people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Do you think there's anything secret that's going on that anybody's going to ever get away with? Absolutely not. I'll tell you, there's a God before whom, there's a Christ before whom we will all stand one day. I'm so glad I can stand there and point to the blood of Christ and my hope in his promise and know that every one of my sins is gone. That I can stand there and be received, not because I'm worthy, but oh, I tell you, you think about those that are going to have to stand there and realize every secret thing, every pretense, every way that I made my own path in the world, did what I wanted to do, God's going to pull out every secret. Nothing is hidden from him. And God's going to judge this present world. Don't you worry when you see things happening. You see people getting away with something. Don't you worry for one second that anybody is getting away with anything. God knows, and there will come a time when everything will be put right. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. That's part of the anchor that we have, that we can see. We can go back to before the beginning of time and see a God who set this in motion, nobody can tell him what to do. We can see a God, if we're willing, who's in charge right now in spite of what it looks like. He is able to overshadow and bring about his purposes in every situation. And when it's all over, don't worry, everything will be put right. Everything will be brought out into the light. And we will see, and we will be known as we are known. We will know as we're known. Praise God. All right? Now, here's another interesting thing. We suppose that things happen on earth by natural course. That is, if you got somebody who's stronger than somebody else, obviously they're going to be the victor. If they have more resources than somebody else, that's the reason why they're prevailing. Is it? Is that always the way things happen? No king is saved by the size of his army. That sounds crazy. But how many examples do we have in the scriptures that demonstrate that, I'll tell you, when God wants to save, it doesn't matter how big the army is. You know, you have, was it Gideon? And the Lord deliberately reduced their army to 300 who went into battle with a torch and a shout against a great big army, and the Lord put them to flight. And what about Jehoshaphat? What about that battle plan? Send the choir out. Get the musicians. Send them out there and just praise the Lord. And a million-man army was absolutely and utterly defeated. I'll tell you, the circumstances that come up in our lives, if we just look at natural resources rather than saying, God, I'm in your hands. I want your plan. I want your will. It doesn't matter what my seeming resources are or are not. Lord, you work out your plan, your way. I'll tell you, it doesn't depend upon me and my resources or all the outward circumstances that we tend to think of. We serve a God who's in charge. He is not bound by anything. So I'll tell you, man thinks, oh, I want to accomplish this, so here's how I got to do it, and if I do it, guaranteed. Oh, no. You know, a whole lot of people in history thought they could pull off stuff, and the Lord said, uh-uh. The Lord had ways of undermining and stopping and putting down one nation and bringing up another. And all throughout history, like I said, we've seen that pattern. No warrior escapes by his own strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. And, of course, that was the warfare of their day. Despite its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. We could be in the most desperate circumstance in the world. Lord might take us home. Or he might just bring us out with an amazing victory, because we are not dependent on earthly circumstances. Ultimately, we are dependent on the Lord. And I want to be one that sees past circumstances and says, God, I'm in your hands and you're in charge. And I'm going to sing joyfully to you. I'm not going to say, and live in fear. You think God wants us to live in fear? Do you think he wants to give in to the uncertainties that we see in this world? Or does he want us to see him in the light of this psalm? Praise God. All right? The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. To do what? To deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we have put our hope in you. Think that's the prayer the Lord's going to answer? Absolutely. You know, I'm glad that God can bring us to a place where we have a sense of who we are and what our true identity is in Christ, but I'm thankful even more that we know who our God is. We can have total confidence in him. We can watch the news, if you want to do that, and see all of the uncertainty. We can look at the house of cards that is world society and say, well, what's going to happen? This bank failed. Oh, my God. You know, and what happens if this card comes out? It's all going to come down. Oh, my God. We need to have a sense that there is a God who is over all. That if the cards fall, he hasn't forgotten his people. That if we get in circumstances where we're living out of a backpack, he'll be with us. If we lay down our lives for him, he will go through it with us. And I'll tell you, you think we're going to lose? You think anybody who lays down their life for the Lord is going to lose? My God, that's a one-way ticket home. I'll tell you, we serve a God who sees everyone. The one who sees the sparrow fall sees you and sees me. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what your attitude, your demeanor. So many things in this world can provoke fear, can provoke anxiety, can provoke anger, bitterness, about this and about that, instead of saying, Lord, you're in charge and I'm trusting in you. You've got this. You've got a plan and I want your plan. I'm not going to sit here and fight against you. I'm going to surrender and I'm going to put my hope and my trust in you. I'm going to say, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe this is just, I don't know what this is, but I'll just trust the Lord to speak to somebody's heart. What is your daily attitude like? How do you see your life? How do you see the people around you, the circumstances that the Lord has allowed in your life? How do you see that? Are you constantly upset by this and angry about that and fearful about the other thing? Or do we say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all, oh God. You are on the throne and I am never going to forget who you are. But help me to make a choice when those emotions try to take over. To go back to the beginning of this psalm, that sing joyfully to the Lord. Is that just some sort of gimmick? Is that a psychological trick we play? Or is there something real behind it? Is there a real God that we can know and walk with in this world and come through with a sense of joy in the midst of all the things that happen? What do you think? You believe that God wants to be that real to every single one of us? God help me. I'm just right there with you. I'm not here because I'm somebody way up above you all. I'm right there in the battle with you. But I serve a God who's faithful. And how many times does he have to remind me, where are you going with this? Where are your emotions now? Why are you reacting to this? I want to bring you to a place where you can know what's right, but you don't have to get out there and fight about it and be angry and be upset and fearful and try to fix it and all those kinds of things. But just say, Lord, you have a plan that is unfolding and I just want to be a part of it. Show me my place, but help me above all to have a heart that's able, that's so in tune with you that I can sing joyfully at the darkest hour and know who you are. You know, there's another psalm that says, be still and know that I am God. Praise God. That's a good place to be, isn't it? You see why David was a man after God's own heart. There's so much that God has unfolded for us that he didn't know about, but see where the faith was. He knew that the one important thing was to always remember who God is and just be so grounded in that nothing in this world can turn us aside or take us down. To him be glory. Praise God.